Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hello, it's Ed here. Just before we play out the episode, just wanted to let you know that obviously this was recorded before the coronavirus pandemic. Now, I know a lot of you are tuning into this to get away from hearing anything about that, which is cool. Don't worry, it doesn't get mentioned again because this was recorded before all of that happened. And we're letting you know because there's quite a lot of chat in this episode about Joe's play that he's in. He was in to promote a play. And obviously, given the announcement about avoiding theatres, etc., it's just a bit weird. But to be honest, a lot of this episode is a bit weird for various reasons. It's an absolutely belting episode. Hall of Fame, I'd say. You're really going to enjoy it. And I just want to reassure everyone who's worried that the pandemic is going to affect the podcast. It is not. We are very good boys who do our homework. We have recorded a lot in advance. The pandemic will not affect the Dream Restaurant. The Dream Restaurant does not count as a mass gathering or a social situation. So you are welcome anytime. With that, enjoy the episode. It's a great one.
And if you just dash in some humour and then put that in a bowl, pop a wet tea towel over it, leave that to rise, you've got yourself the beginnings of a lovely podcast.
Wonderful, Ed.
Are you all right with that?
Oh, I like it, Eddie.
I don't really cook bread.
You looked unsure when you were saying it, but I liked it.
I enjoyed it. I'm getting back into the swing of them, James.
But hey, the message remained clear throughout that intro. Welcome to Off Menu, right?
It's like it was yeast. It was like the humour was yeast.
Yes.
And the podcast was the dough.
You're Dan J. Gamble?
Yeah. You're James Acaster. And then you got to put the podcast in the oven as well, so I didn't think it through. But welcome. It's food-based, essentially, is what...
it's food-based. We asked the guests their favourite ever... start a main course, dessert, side dish and drink. It's food-based.
Simple as that.
Yes.
We have a special guest every week in the Dream Restaurant. And this week, the special guest is Joe Thomas, a wonderful actor, a comedian, writer.
Yes.
You may recognise him from The Inbetweeners, from Taskmaster, from Fresh Meat, from many, many things.
Well, how exciting. But, hey, I like him, sure. But Ed, listen, if he mentions our secret ingredient, I'm chucking him out of the restaurant.
I know you will.
Them's the rules.
I want to see you do it one day. But hopefully not today.
Hopefully not today. But hey, if he mentions kidneys, he's out.
Who wants kidneys? We're not in a war.
I hate the texture of them.
Horrible.
Horrible texture.
And you know, I like liver. See, liver's got a bad rep.
No,
I like
me.
Liver.
Not me.
There's a way of cooking liver nicely. Kidneys, always awful.
Always
Sorry.
Awful. No,
and they look
you.
Like kidneys.
Yeah. What? Why would you want it?
No,
why would you,
you
want them if he says kidneys is out on his lily ass?
He is indeed. So let's hear the off-menu menu of Joe Thomas. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks.
To the Dream Restaurant.
Mmm. Thanks.
Well.
Joe Thomas, welcome to the Dream Restaurant.
That's the biggest pause you've left before you've emerged as a genie.
I had to let all the fizz settle. There was a lot more fizz that time.
Was there?
It's a lot of fizz. And I wanted it all to settle before. I didn't know if Joe could hear me over the fizz.
Mm. Yeah, actually, I couldn't. It was just a white noise.
Yeah, a lot of fizz and foam, actually.
Yeah.
There's not normally foam. What's happened?
I just,
foam party.
There's a foam party.
Speak of the 90s.
Before we started recording, you two were talking about university. And I didn't go to uni, so I'm like, foam parties, right?
Yeah.
that's what uni is.
That is basically what it was, yeah.
I don't think I was too shy to go to a foam party.
A foam party? I wouldn't have got within a mile of a foam party. I mean, really, the level of confidence needed to go to that was just mental. Like, I
why are they a thing?
I don't know. I mean,
is it so people can just like all get off with each other in the foam?
It is, but also, I mean, the idea that that foam would immediately lead to me getting off with someone seems so wild. Just like, no, absolutely. Absolutely not.
Do people get like really like wet with the foam? And soaking with, like a wet t-shirt? Yeah.
I think there's probably a little bit of that as well. as I say, the 90s.
Yeah.
I didn't even know where you were meant to encounter them at foam parties.
I guess they're advertised as foam parties, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't just have it as a normal party that, and then you get there and there's foam.
Arranged though, where do you get the phone from? Like, what is it?
You must phone a certain place and go, we need a lot of foam. We've got like this many freshers in, and we need enough foam to kind of like douse them.
Is it then foam per fresher?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. How much is $12.50 per head?
Yeah,
yeah, and that gets you this much detergent.
If you have too much foam, they drown,
or too much water and not enough bubbles. There's bubbles is air, anyway,
bubbles is air,
bubbles is air.
Bubbles is there.
And there is bubbles.
Okay, that's... I did a science degree.
Yeah.
if there's one thing I'll really take away from my year at university, it's that bubbles is air. that's what they say.
Did you encounter Ed Gamble a lot at university?
Well, we were different universities. But we were both in comedy and, you know...
Hot student sketch scene.
Yeah.
Ed at Durham.
Yeah.
The Durham Review.
Oh. Yeah.
You were at Cambridge?
Me at Cambridge.
Footlights.
Yeah, the Footlights. And then
More highly revered and respected.
Well, I mean, not through our work, but possibly. But
who was your Footlights group?
Me, Johnny Sweet, Simon Bird,
Nick Mohammed,
Tom, now Will Sharp, mm-hmm. who wrote Flowers, Tierney Ghosh.
Who? I was just merely establishing that it was a lady, because until then I was like, what a sausage fest.
Tierney's a lady. Absolute
sausage fest.
Yeah, it was a bit of a sausage fest, and that was a bit of a shame, really. You know,
Ed's one was just like him and Nish, I think.
Tom Neenan?
Tom Neenan was there. Yeah.
Jez? Jez Scharf?
Now, you can't imagine us being cool, can you, James?
No.
But I remember...
they were cool. Like,
Tom Williams, who was in Footlights, told me that the first time he saw all of us arrive, because we all had long hair and ripped jeans on, he said it looked like we were in a band.
Fucking hell.
What?
That is cool.
Not the three of you. I've seen photos of the three of you. And you know how I constantly talk about what you, Nish and Tom, used to look like at university? The three farmers from Fantastic Mr. Fox.
So imagine how dweeby the Footlights were. Looked like we were in a band.
We were very, very uncool, I think. There was a way that people dressed at Cambridge where I was like, this is so bad. Like, it was fleece and jeans.
Right.
Wow. I was like, come on, guys. Come on. Blazer with everything as well. That was the other thing. Like, blazer. Blazer is sort of somehow becoming in a sort of weird way. But like, I used to wear... increasingly, my friends now tell me how poorly I dressed at university. Here's one: a hoodie with a blazer over the top. That was a kind of.
Oh, I remember.
You remember that
phase, yeah.
Just really bad.
None of this was big on the cat rinsing.
I mean, we were starting from a very lowly place in terms of like what's cool. But I, to be honest, I thought they were cool.
We were the bad boys of the street.
They were the bad boys, yeah. What? And then the third group was Dublin, right?
Yeah, I think that was just before I started the Dublin crew. But that was Aisling B was in the Dublin sketch group.
And their thing was called HBAM.
HBAM, yeah.
Which stood for How Babies Are Made.
Correct.
But I don't know what that means really as a thing. Like, I don't... You don't need to do it. Why have they approached it?
That's a very funny name. Well, I like it.
How Babies Made.
Well, I sketch comedy? I don't know. That's what they're implying. Yeah. They're like, well, we're a sketch comedy group. Or to put it another way, the method by which babies are made. I really don't know. Like, it doesn't appear to be referential in any way to the fact that they're a that they're a group.
What's the Footlights about? What's that?
Well, that's from the 1890s or something. I mean, I don't. But I mean, that's the Footlights is a type of light that you have at the front of the stage and, and looks back.
Hilarious.
Up. Well, it's not hilarious. No, it's not. I'm not saying it's hilarious. I'm not.
The
I don't. I'm
light joke.
I don't want things to be funny. I want them to make sense. That's what I'm saying. Yes. I'm not. As long as they could be called any, they could be called like the potatoes. Like, that's fine. That's
what.
Oh well, maybe not. But like, I, you know, sometimes you get. What's it? You get stand-up nights that are called things like. What's the name for stand-up? Like, surprisingly cheap. Is that one?
Yeah, that's
see, that's a self-referential. It's funny. It makes. It's like, here's our stand-up night, or as I call it, surprisingly cheap. Yeah. Funny. Here's a sketch night, or as I call it, how babies are made. I just don't know what that means. And also, they've turned it into a kind of acronym as well. So it's like an even further level of like.
That's even better. Because people have to go, what's HBAM stand for? They'd be told, it stands for how babies are made. And that's like, funny.
That's
a funny reveal.
It's funny. It's a bit funny. It's funny in the way. It's funny in the way that the band Biffy Clyro are funny because they used to have a band pen that had Cliff Richard on it, which was known as the Cliffy Biro.
Yeah,
and then they started calling it the Biffy Clyro.
Yes,
and so it's kind of like
good fun. I didn't know that. Yeah, that is funny.
I'd say funny. It's. Cliffy I'd Biro. Say it's like it's diverting. I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm not going to go at H-Band.
Sounds like you're having a go.
Okay, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure they're a going concern. I think you could have them.
Yeah, well, as you will have observed, I'm still living in.
They then moved on. If you want to know your student sketch comedy, moved on and turned into a group called Los Albatross for a while.
Ah, okay. See, that's. Prefer that? Yeah, that's okay.
You prefer it?
I prefer that.
Doesn't have anything to do with what they're doing, though.
It doesn't.
I can't remember what that stands for, but it's a really long
about. How Babies Are Made implies that it does have something to do with something, whereas Los Albatross obviously is just a name that's been put across in a creative way. Like it could be, I think if you had.
But then How Babies Are Made is sex. So they're making out like what they're doing is akin to sex. That's how good their comedy is.
Assumed How Babies Are Made, sex, that's funny.
I think, yes, I suppose already, sex is funny. But
you're doing it at a phone party.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I suppose if you had a PR agency and it was called Los Albatross, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get that. Like, who's doing your advertising campaign? Oh, these new cool kids, Los Albatross, fine. Who's your advertising company? How Babies Are Made.
Yes, well,
it just isn't really, it's just not the name of anything.
Why are you changing what they are? That doesn't make a point.
I'm trying to get a handle on... This, I'm just trying to get a handle on why it's irritating me so much.
But the people that you guys all thought were cool weren't How Babies Are Made. It was the Durham Review.
The Durham Review.
Well, that's boring name.
It is a bit...
We were cool.
The Durham Review. Apparently, you were cool.
I thought they were.
To the Hoodie Blazer Brigade, we were cool.
We were cool. The years before us, they were a bit disgusting, the Durham Review.
Okay.
They used to pride themselves on being disgusting.
Disgusting.
Okay. They used to play a game called... It's a food podcast, we can talk about this.
Yeah.
They used to play a game that they're very proud of called Uppy Uppy Tomato Tomato. I don't know if you ever witnessed that happen.
Uppy Uppy Tomato Tomato.
Yeah.
Is
so
that shoving tomatoes out your ass?
I mean, not far off. Okay. Just pop around the front.
Ah.
So there was a... what they'd do is they'd... Okay. One person would take a bite of a tomato and rub it on their testicles, and then they'd throw it in the air and shout, Uppy Uppy Tomato Tomato, and the next person had to catch it, take a bite and rub it on their balls, and then throw it in the air.
I'm sorry, I don't get the point of that game, but Joe absolutely loves it.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely. He's gone from this man who demands logic and sense in the world, about uppy uppy tomato tomato, and being absolutely in his element.
Who's handling your PR this season? Uppy uppy tomato tomato, fine.
That's the PR guy.
No questions answered.
PR companies, Joe.
Does it work as the name of a PR company? If it does, it can be the name of something else.
Then you're
If it doesn't, it can't be the name of anything.
Okay, good.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's
so if you had a PR company called The Beatles, that'd be fine.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, The Beatles is, I mean, actually, when you think about it, a appalling name.
Yes, it is.
I mean, really, really appalling. It's because all the bands at that time were doing puns on the word beat. They were called things like the Mersey Beats.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me, this doesn't matter, but it took me realise, what? It took me years to realise that it was a pun.
What is how do you win a PRP tomato tomato?
I don't think it's not. It's not. There's no winners.
Just the more longer it goes on, the more you're eating each other's balls.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god.
So that's your starter covered.
That's it. I'll be up as tomato.
Oh, yeah, you were. All right. In the footlights. Still spanking the planks, still treading the boards.
Very much so. And in other news, not only am I treading the boards, but I'm also in a play.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Happy, happy tomato, tomato.
It's happy, happy tomato, tomato.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we've been talking a lot about how you don't like the names of all these things. Yeah. And how you, but yeah.
Wait a minute. What's the name of my play?
What I would ask you, Jim, is what's in a name?
What's in a name? What is in a name? Well,
so it's what the play's called.
That's the name of the play. That's the name of the play. It's not my people go, what's the play called? What's in a name? Well, I don't know. I mean, why are you being so funny? Can't you just tell me what the play's called? Yeah. So it's what's in a name. It is really funny. Yeah. It's about names. It's about what names you call you. It's, to be honest, I would say it is quite like sketch comedy. Like it is kind of like, it begins as an argument about whether you can call your baby Adolf,
mm-hmm.
which would, you know, you would, wouldn't be out of place at a little sketch night as a sort of idea for a sketch, I don't think. And it kind of carries on from there. I mean, it is genuine. It's quite short. So that's a tick. That's a tick,
this
as far as I'm concerned.
Joe, this is the worst promo I've ever heard for short. Anything anyone's
I know
doing.
How I know what people think of the theatre. They think, oh, for fuck's sake, I don't want to go and see that. It's so boring. It's the waste of an evening. I can't go for dinner. I'd rather watch television. What I'm saying is, this is a bit like television because it's genuinely funny and a bit like sketch comedy. And it's short.
Yes.
And it's got people in it who have been on the television. So you can be a bit like, oh, it's a bit like television after all.
Who's the rest of the cast?
Okay, two of them have dropped out.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Should we do them?
Yeah.
He's dropped out. He's
Laura Pat, she's in Afterlife. It's really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of a plug for that.
Yeah.
Still in Afterlife, no longer in my play.
Yeah.
Summer Stralin.
Yeah.
Still a big West End star, no longer in my play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beau Poré in Miranda.
Okay.
Still in the play.
Still in the play. Done. Well good. Done, Beau. Well done, Beau.
Joe Thomas.
That's you.
In Between Us, etc. Yeah. Still in the play.
Yes. Are you in the In Between Us?
Don't mind a bit of it, mate.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Would you encourage people? You probably rarely get people shouting catchphrases to you from the show. So
Hardly ever.
Is that what you'd like?
That's what I'd like.
Pre, during, and after the show.
That's what I'd like. And cool. If they could never call me Joe.
Yeah.
Never call me Joe. Yeah. Only call me Simon.
Yeah.
That's why I did it.
Yeah.
I wanted to lose my sense of who I am.
Yeah. 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 Congrats.
Doesn't you know? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter
what they call you.
I have this idea of who I was. Doesn't matter. I'm someone else now in everyone else's eyes. Yes. So just go with that. Yeah.
Cool.
And,
where's the play
and,
on, Joe?
I was going to say Alex Gaumond, who, again, big West End star. Alex and Summer, big West End stars. As I say, Summer not in it anymore.
Yeah, sure. Not in
Me,
it.
Me, Beau, Laura, three big TV stars. Laura not in it anymore.
Yeah.
It is honestly really funny. And yes. I just want to say that because that a lot of people think the plays are shit and they're not funny.
Sure.
And this play, actually, not everyone thinks that. No. And in a way, it's weird that I should suggest that that is a prevailing opinion.
I've never heard a promo contain the word honestly so many times before.
So, it's short, not shit, and has got the remnants of a really excellent cast.
Yeah. So you've done 60
performances already.
Already. At what point did the two people drop out?
They dropped out after 60.
60, yeah.
So that's fine.
Yes, that's fine.
So you don't know...
I mean, it's a recasting. It's an extension of a tour.
Yes.
Because it was successful. This is going to need some editing, to be honest.
No. Still on sparkling water, Joe?
Sparkling.
Sparkling water.
Problems on bread! Problems on bread, Joe! Problems on bread! Bread, please.
Why?
It's more versatile. I haven't made Indian choices, so I understand about popping them. They are really nice. I mean, to be honest, they are lovely, but I just think it's a bit bonkers having at the beginning of a meal that isn't, you know, an Indian meal. So I, much as I am with you on, you know, always offering them, I would say bread. What? Bread.
What type of bread, Joe?
I quite like almost like quite sweet, cakey bread.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like that really dark bread that's almost maybe got a bit of malt in it or something. That's really nice.
Like a dark rye bread or
something. A dark rye bread, but with a bit of, almost with a bit of sweetness in it as well. And the other one I love is a ciabatta. Just that one with all the oil that's like salty. That's lovely. Uh-huh. And also, I have to say, I genuinely, this is, I've for a long time said of these two things, my favourite food is butter and my favourite taste is salt.
Yes, well, yeah. I'm completely on board
and,
with
and,
the
salt. And I think there was a Netflix show on recently called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, which is basically saying that I'm right on two of those things. And the only reason I'm not right on the other two is because I haven't bothered to turn my mind to those other two categories yet.
Yeah.
Salt, fat, bosh. So I was right. And that was one of the few things that I left university being like, I know that. That's something I know.
That you like butter.
I love butter. So with bread, the reason I would say bread is really an opportunity to eat a lot of butter.
Sure.
And I think that I don't think we'll ever see butter disappear completely because I just think it's just too good. It's too damn nice.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same about other sort of dairy products, or do you think butter is the king of the dairy? Because I think milk's on the way out.
I think milk is on the way out. Also, I know quite a lot of vegetarians and quite a lot of vegans.
I drank a pint of milk last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, just a pint of milk for me then?
Yeah. I remembered it was in the fridge.
Mental night.
I'd forgotten it was in the fridge.
That is a lot of pint of milk.
Yeah. Drank the whole thing.
Well, in one go? You down it?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It was actually a two-pinter, and it was half full. That's how
okay.
I know.
Okay.
And I thought, I'm polish this off.
Blimey, I don't know. Yeah, I think milk is on the way out. I also think, I mean, I know quite a lot of vegetarians and vegans, and I'm still a completely, like unenlightened carnivore, basically. Mm-hmm. But meat, I've started eating a lot less meat. I got that Ottolenghi book.
Yeah.
That he uses yogurt all the time, eggs. I just don't miss it. I could see me not having meat. I really can see me not having meat. Cheese, I think, is a problem area.
Yeah.
I know vegan cheese has got a lot better. Probably butter is the king of dairy. I do think, because also you can't, it's the base for other things. You don't, why are scrambled eggs so nice? Butter.
Yeah.
Why are, even something random, snails. Why are snails so nice? Butter, basically. Mm-hmm. Why is roast chicken nice? Because you put a fucking butter under the breast, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you, Joe?
Is that to you? Oh, that's to me. Yeah.
Weirdly self-hating attitude.
So when you're cooking a roast chicken, you say, you'll say, why is that so nice?
Yeah, I go.
Because you put the butter under the breast, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, I go.
Why did you say that? I mean, what was
interesting about that? I go, I see you.
Yes.
Don't try and seduce me.
Yes.
Is that you've seen yourself in the oven door there?
I saw myself in the oven door.
When you said, why is that chicken taste nice? Because you put a bunch of butter under the breast, didn't you?
Yeah.
I didn't think, who's he addressing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you seemed to think, there was a look in your face, it was like, oh no, I've not done this properly.
I think it's a third party addressing me.
Okay.
I think that's the truth. It's somebody, it's some kind of...
So you're playing a character.
Pure Puritan. Somebody saying, you little fucker.
You little fucker.
Like, you disgusting little worm.
You disgusting little fucker.
Eating just butter, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good for you. You'll regret it tomorrow? I don't know.
Yeah.
But also, I have to say, I think I mean skin. Under the skin, on top of the breast.
Top of the breast,
under the skin. That's nice.
Not under the breast.
Not under the breast.
On the carcass.
Under the breast.
On the bone.
Yeah. That's just, yeah. Over the breast.
Butter in the bones.
Under the butter of the bones? Could you butter? I tell you what, I wouldn't put it past butter to even improve bones.
Yeah. would you like it?
I wouldn't. I think there is a guy who can do anything.
Yeah. For your bread course, do you even want bread, or do you want to, we can just bring out loads of butter?
Yeah, frankly, I mean, that's a good question. I mean,
have you ever eaten straight butter?
No, but I've got to the point where I've had a cheese where I've been like, that's so close to butter. You know, if you'd have said to me upon bringing out some butter, here's a new cheese, I would have said, yeah, that's fine. I probably would have eaten it. So yeah, I mean, I think I think just eating butter on its own is, that's getting a little bit too weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's something prurient and perverse about that.
If someone stuck their head in this room now and was like, yeah, the world's going to end in 5 minutes.
Oh, I see. No, to be honest,
I think
I will do is put an amount of butter onto a crumpet or toast that is just way too high. But I really don't think there's an upper limit to how much.
But I do that closed doors.
Behind closed doors,
I'm slamming on pats of butter. Yeah. Like, there's no.
It's also, I think if you to go to a Michelin starred restaurant. I think a lot of the secret of that is just a fat load of butter with everything.
Yeah, butter's the key.
You can see
it's
just everywhere. Just like, why is that meat so nice? Butter.
Yeah.
So, I could go on.
All sentence.
Who's saying that to who?
Why is that meat so nice? Butter.
Okay.
When you said crumpets, then it made me just think how much, I think for me, my favourite thing to have butter on is crumpets.
It's just
I think I would rather have crumpets than bread. How do you like that, Ed?
I think you have your choice, fine. Yeah. But here's why I don't think a crumpet is a good thing to put butter on, because it leaches butter.
It does leach butter.
It wastes butter. It goes straight through, and then you've got pools of butter on the plate.
But I think it's almost a kind of inbuilt, like, you're never going to kill yourself because it will get rid of any butter it can't hold. It will reach saturation point. And then the bit beyond that.
Or do you think it's like...
I think that's why they're designed like that. I think it's an inbuilt.
So it's like when you have a Barocca and what it does is it puts your calcium levels up to the highest they can be and then you piss all the rest
and your
of
vitamin
out.
C's. Yeah, so if you have a vitamin C tablet, it gives you like 10 times as much vitamin C as you need.
But you just...
And you just piss it all out. Like you're so the crumpet is the bladder kidney. There's a kidney among breads. If I may.
You can have a crumpet if you want in the dream restaurant as your bread.
To be honest, the problem with this is that I've had this conversation many times, my dream meal. And the problem is I do take food very seriously. And like I've tried to make my choices, divertently amusing. But the truth is, there is another whole side where I would just take it incredibly seriously and be like, well, no, I'm not going to fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I would just bosh it out. But I mean, I think crumpets is one thing that hadn't... I mean, breakfast, the point is you overlook breakfast as well when you say, like, final meal.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose some people might have said an English breakfast. Have you ever had that? You had breakfast?
Jess Phillips did breakfast for dinner.
Yeah. So, I mean, within that, I mean, there are, there's a multiplicity of options. And with a crumpet, another thing I would recommend is that, and I mean, this is something that I discussed with my partner recently, where she said, it's just like a big blini, isn't it? And I was like, my God, darling, you're right. And as a result of that...
I would argue a blini is a mini crumpet.
Yeah, okay. But a really nice thing to have on a crumpet, and this is something you might like for breakfast anyway, cream cheese and salmon?
Yes.
Have that on a fucking crumpet, mate. Yeah. Have that on a fucking crumpet.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah. Have a cream cheese and salmon on a crumpet.
Come on!
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for fuck's sake, do you want to hold your fucking hand?
Yeah.
Don't shit yourself. Have on a fucking crumpet.
Yeah.
What, are you scared? What is going to fucking happen?
Yeah.
We need to narrow down this bread course, Joe. So you're having bread.
Chia batter. I'll have the batter as well, thanks, despite the oil.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fine.
I'll have the dark malty rye bread, and I'll have, why not, a lovely, just a springy, classic white doughy bread.
There you go.
All in a little basket with the butter.
All in a little basket,
there.
Please.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So we come to your starter.
Okay, so I'm going to sub this in, if I may. I don't know whether I'm allowed to, but you know in Italian restaurants you get premium secondi. Mm-hmm. I never do that.
I don't know.
What's okay, this? What's weird is whenever a British person goes to an Italian restaurant,
yeah,
they never have any of the secondi.
Uh-huh.
They never have a secondo, if I may. And also at this point, I'd say I have a friend who, you know, when you go to Cafe Nero,
yeah,
and you get a panini.
Uh-huh.
What? Panini is plural, mate. You get a panino.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's just for my...
Yeah.
My mate who told me that, and I just think that's never really got enough credit. I don't know if it's not that fucking hard.
If you go to Cafe Nero, do you say can I have a panino?
Yeah, I do.
And, you do, and, you say it?
Yeah, and if
a great panino?
Yeah.
How does that go down?
I think they respect me.
I think so
they,
too.
Yeah. I get
So yeah, in an Italian restaurant, a premium secondi, there'd be like starters and then like, is it a secondi?
Well, no,
like
no, so no, no, then... yeah, so exactly. So to Brit, pasta's a meal, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
But in Italian restaurants, they always want you to have a pasta first and then something else.
Mm-hmm.
Veal, which no one ever gets. But if this really is my last meal... I mean,
it doesn't
I
have to be. This is no, not this necessarily is a, your last
we've
meal.
We've never implied it's your last meal.
Okay. I think I'm muddling it up with... another conversation I had.
Yeah, sure, that's which, fine.
Which is that understandable?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. No, it's not your last meal.
Maybe even in that, it wasn't my last meal. Well, let's say that it's my last meal. And for the purposes of introducing a dish that means something to me,
yes,
I'm going to go for pasta as a starter pasta.
I love it.
And you know, this is boring, but I am just going to say, because I've had... If you added together all the times I've had this meal, yeah, it would be the same number as every other type of meal I've had added together. The name of that meal, spaghetti bolognese. When I left university and I lived with Simon Bird and Johnny Sweet, happy years of my life. I don't know why that had to end.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, they've got wives and children. Why can't we all still live in Lambeth North together?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love those.
Those two have started a company together?
They have, yeah.
Yeah, they're mates still.
Yeah, et cetera and so on. Oh, they're still close.
Yeah.
What happened to the spaghetti bolognese boys? That gang. Why does anything have to change?
Yeah.
Why is the 90s 4 decades ago?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not, is it? Not really. It is actually isn't, to be fair. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Don't let us disrupt your flow.
Yep. Why? It's not. It's 20 something. You know, it's like it's 20 within 21 years in either direction. In well, only in one direction.
Uh-huh. It's 2020 now.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So how many years have you got to go back to get to the 90s?
It's 20, isn't it?
Don't help him.
Hang on. Well, no, because also The year 2000 was a year. So
it depends what year.
2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009. So by the end of 2009, that's 10 years since the millennium. By the end of 2019, that's 20 years since the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. So now we're now in 20. Yeah. So yeah. So it's January, yeah. So. 20 years plus whatever we've had of this year.
Yeah.
Plus, however far back you want to go into the 90s.
Yes. One day. And then
just one day, you're in the 90s.
You're in the 90s. You're in the 90s. Just one day back. You're
one
in the
day
90s.
Back.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Well, yeah, beginning of New Year's Eve. It's the morning of December 31st, 1999.
Yep.
Is that when you would like the meal to be set?
I wouldn't mind the meal. I mean, my food for me is about, you know, specific... Well, actually, is it? No, I mean, well, no, there's two... Obviously, like...
I've never met you before, Joe. You are.
I didn't know you'd not met Joe before. And it's
an absolute mess.
If I'd known you'd not met Joe before,
yeah,
I would have been so excited for this meeting. But I'm so happy I'm watching it all.
I'm having a very nice time.
There was a nostalgia to the period of my life where, I mean, so when I lived with Simon and Johnny, and we lived in a flat in Lambeth North in London... Years, which as I say, I don't believe ever had to end. We would have, I'd cook them spaghetti bolognese four nights a week. Two nights a week we'd have spaghetti carbonara. And then on the seventh night we'd have bangers and mash.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, we would have, I think basically every night, two bottles of red wine for a fiver. I know, maybe it was for a tenner. It was like a fiver. But anyway, it was perfectly serviceable, like Valpolicella, like plonk. So we get like, fairly hammered every night and eat this vast meal of spaghetti bolognese. And I basically think that was like a glorious, it's just a glorious thing. Yes. Like it was, we'd all be like sweating. I mean, that thing where you just got to the point in the meal where you're just like, kind of can't even really speak anymore.
Every night.
Pretty much every night. It was just, you know, that's how you should eat.
It's amazing how the young body can handle pasta.
You can just handle it. You just burn
through it. I used to eat pans and pans of pasta. Yeah. I couldn't eat a bowl of pasta now without feeling it in the next 2 days.
Yeah. Feel it straight away.
Yeah. So spaghetti bolognese to start, made by your own fair hand?
I would say probably made by me,
Were you the bolognese king?
I was, yeah. I mean, I would never order a spaghetti bolognese because I know that I can make it to within, like, I don't know, a percentile of... normally it's worse if I order it. Normally it's worse than what I can do. And even if it's a tiny bit better, I'm like, well, there are many things that, you know, this chef could do much better than I can do. This is the only thing.
You've got him on this.
I've got it. So it's the only thing that I... And so I suppose, like, yeah, I would... I guess I would... I would make. I mean, I should say I like cooking. So I suppose if I was to have a dream meal, I might be maybe involved in the cooking.
Yeah.
As well.
Were you the cook out of the three?
Very much so. Yeah. I was the cook.
I can't.
I was the cook. I was the.
Did you do the carbonara and the bangers and mash as well?
I did the carbonara and the bangers and mash. Yeah, I did. And little innovation.
So the reason why the menu was just those three things over and over again was your decision.
It was up to me, No, I think the reason they moved out is because, like, I think Johnny was genuinely worried about, like, heart stuff and, like, sort of... He was actually like, we can't go on eating like this. You can't do this. Like, he'd changed physically. He went back to his family. They were like, you've physically changed. And he was like, it's Joe. I will say this as well. Here's maybe where Johnny was. This might explain some of Johnny's worries. By the end of that period living in the house, the bolognese also contained as one of its ingredients cream. So, which I liked because I think I remember that. When I was a kid, we used to have bolognese made for us by, like...
An ice cream man?
by some friends of our family. And I think that had cream in it. I just think it did. It turns it a kind of duskier brown. And it makes it smoother and a bit milder. And actually, tomatoes do have... Tomatoes need a bit of balancing. Quite often in a tomato dish, it will tell you to add sugar. Which that's... We mentioned ossolenghi. There's often a bit of sugar in there or something sweet. Just tomato-y, it's quite acidy. It's quite... You do actually want... It's quite a kind of high acidy flavour. So you do want something sometimes to mellow out a bit. Mm-hmm. We all know that bolognese often has a tiny bit of sugar in it or something sweet. Should it also have cream in? Yes.
So you would like your starter to be your cream
for old time's sake. For obviously a small portion, a primo portion.
Primo cremo.
Primo cremo.
Primo cremo bolognese.
Yeah. Weirdly made by me. Yeah.
Made by you.
Yeah.
When
and
you were
back
university.
In the year is
99?
No, I'm not. No. I'm not that old. I'm not quite that old, but I guess 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. I suppose what I'm really referring to is the long 90s, the era that maybe we'd say came to an end with the
pre-financial crash.
Pre-financial crash. Still, there was still. I feel like there was an era where it was just generally a more hedonistic era,
okay.
Which I think is now. Definitely fucking over.
No one's creaming their bolognese.
No one's creaming their bolognese now. They're not even making bolognese. Yes. Which is fine, because to be fair, I'm aware that the meat thing is a bit of a disaster. And, so, you know, probably stop burning down the Amazon and then blaming it on Leonardo DiCaprio, yeah. I guess. That's also addressed to me.
I mean, I guess we're going to ask you what your main course is now.
Yeah, probably just for the reasons of time.
Yeah, but...
I'm enjoying this. To be honest, I do spend quite a lot of time on my own. So, I mean, it's just nice to see you guys.
That's why the main person you address is yourself. I'm like,
yeah, it's had a bit of an impact, yeah. It's why I seem to have split myself into, into a sort of interrogator and interrogatee. Main course, right. This is another meat option. Mm-hmm. This is also a dish that I'm going to prepare.
Okay.
And it's something that I call 24-hour lamb.
24-hour lamb.
And this is a lamb that you cook by burying it with a fire in a hole. And I did
burying it with a fire in a hole.
Initially with a fire.
So that it's in there with the fire.
Okay. You light a fire.
Yep.
You put the lamb in.
Yes.
Okay. Then you bury it.
Great.
Okay. Basically, that's how you do it. Now, I did this about 10 years ago. There was one summer where I was living with my parents, and I sort of weirdly became really really genuinely quite good friends with like one of the local dads who lives in the village. So like he was like my mate's dad. He's called Neil. But it was a bit like, that's my mate Neil. So like I suppose he's about 50, I was about 25. But it was a nice there was nothing, you know, I wasn't like a toy boy. Like it was a perfectly lovely friendship.
Just friends with your mate's dad.
Just friends with your mate's dad. And I remain friends with Neil now. And
he's a good not as weird as being in love with someone.
No. No.
Which would be quite nice actually. Yeah. But mates with your mate's dad.
So basically, he'd wanted to do this for a while. And I'd seen, or at least whose idea was it? It was perhaps even my idea, but I remember seeing a programme on television.
I'm just starting to laugh because I'm just remembering that this story is clearly building towards you and your mate's dad digging a hole in the garden and cooking a lamb in it together.
It was, as I say, you know, it was, in fact, it wasn't summer, it was Christmas time. Because we went to... It was some sort of romantic time of year.
Yeah.
I'd seen a programme on television that was called Willy's Perfect Chocolate Christmas. Now, the thing is, in which this lamb thing had been done. Now, the thing is, it wasn't really a recipe programme.
What's Willy's Perfect Chocolate Christmas?
Okay, I'll tell you what it was like. It was like, you know, Kirsty's Christmas. Like, you know, Phil and Kirsty, you do like the property stuff. She does programmes at Christmas where it's like, it's a bit of cookery, but it's not really like... it's not really a cookie. They're not that specific about the recipes. Yeah. It's more like tips, and at the same time, it's like her just like making a house look nice and like making
how to make decorations.
That's yeah. So it was, the recipe was at sort of that level of distance from like specifically what he was actually doing. Yeah. And also, I kind of, it was one of those frames that you kind of like catch where I was like, oh yeah, I think he was doing something like, and so this is me to Neil now.
Yeah.
He dug a pit, he put a fire in it, and then he got a load of hay that he'd kind of made a bit damp.
Yeah.
And he put that on top of the fire, so the fire wasn't too harsh.
Yeah.
Then he put the lamb, which I think he'd seasoned or something. I remember them putting some herbs and stuff in. Again, I'd sort of seen it. I was like, I don't know, what's that? Could be rosemary, could be anything.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's not really a bit, it's about it with his family, really.
Yeah.
Who's Willy?
Well, okay, so this is the thing. So having watched this programme, I really identified with Willy.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, I was like, I think I'm a sort of Willy.
Yeah, you're a Willy type.
I'm a Willy figure.
Yeah.
I'm
a guy like that. I'm a guy...
Who is he?
I'm an affable guy.
Yeah.
Okay, he was a guy who I think... This might be totally wrong. I think he might have been a sort of chocolate entrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
I think he might have owned...
Benito, you know, will you please Google Willy's Perfect Chocolate Christmas? Willy's Perfect Chocolate Christmas.
I think what you'll find is that he set up... The point is, he was a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he was having a big party for his friends and family. And also, does it even exist?
Willy Hardcore Coos.
Yeah, there you go.
Here it is. About the show, chocolate enthusiast Willy Hardcore chocolate Coos enthusiast. Is back to show everyone that when it comes to chocolate, consumers deserve the best.
Yeah.
And doesn't say anything about lamb.
Well, and when it comes to lamb, some people deserve a standard of lamb. Anyway, so basically, fire in the hole, damp hay, lamb seasoned in a Hessian sack.
Yeah.
On top of that, fill it in. Everyone basically... that is done the night before. The next day, 24 hours later, people are starting to arrive. There's a lot of anticipation. And Willy, who's like an eccentric, but like, he's like, oh, what's he done now? This is this is mental. And his wife was like, oh, there was a bit... So the neighbours called the police because like, he was disposing of a body. So I was like, that's cool. So he's like a kooky cool guy.
Yeah.
And and then the neighbours came around and basically the lamb was dug up. It was quite sort of triumphant.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm almost certain the phrase falling off the bone would have been used.
Yeah.
And this, like, it was fucking nice. Basically, it was fucking nice.
It looked nice.
Was it actually nice? No way of knowing. Mm-hmm. Was that the focus of the show? No. Did he really tell you how to do it? No. Had I briefly caught part of that show? Yes. Did I know Neil? Yes.
Yeah.
Did Neil's sister live on a farm and could get us a lamb? Yes. Did we drive to the farm? Yes. Was it snowing when we drove to the farm? Yes. It was that night. It was about 2009.
Uh-huh.
2009.
Yeah.
3 decades ago, if we're using that fucking football podcast rubric.
Yeah, I mean, don't get angry about it. You're the one who introduced that.
Well, I just think it's bollocks. I mean, I just, it's not... The 90s is not 4 decades ago. It's just over 2 decades ago.
Yeah, we've established that. 20,
okay,
20
okay, so it's just
plus.
It's stupid
everyone,
to...
Depending on how far
it's like it's
back,
a stupid, tricksy thing to go. It's like somebody going to me, like, next year you'll turn 38. You don't need to say that, okay? I know it's true.
That's not
I'm 36
same.
Now.
Sure.
Okay, you're basically you're getting another year.
37
in.
This year, and
you're sneaking in two.
You're using year in a different way.
Yeah, using year. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Thank
you're
you.
Using it's year not, as a marker rather than a past.
Exactly. You're saying there's a point of the year that comes after this one numerically where you'll actually be 2 years older. But you in you know if people might think you're 2 years older than you are now, even that isn't true.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, decades and time and age doesn't matter. You can hang out with a 50-year-old man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I say, the point is, as I say, are you, are you 50? Yes. Good. Do I know your son? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to be mates with the son? No, I want to be mates with you. How old is your son? My age.
Yeah.
I still choose you.
You chose him.
I chose him.
I didn't know it was a choice situation.
Yeah. Place an advert. I didn't. He's genuinely a good man. A good man.
Yeah.
And it was this snowstorm. It was like, it was a year. It was probably 2009. It was snowing so badly that the rate we were moving at, this was a year where, I don't remember, like people were having to like overnight in their cars because they were getting stuck, even on quite big roads, like the M2.
Yeah. For example.
Yeah.
It's the biggest road I can think of.
Yeah. Can't think of one bigger than that.
If you don't know what a big road is, and me saying like the M2 also hasn't helped you, I'm just gonna have to not understand that.
Sure.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
We were driving to Neil's sister's farm. But
just
the rate
you?
We were going,
so it was just you.
There was me, Neil, and also
a 50-year-old man driving in the dead of night in the snow towards a farm.
I think his daughter.
Yeah.
And also maybe her mate.
How but many as I say, of the people in the car have been briefed and told about Willy's perfect chocolate crisp?
one nil.
Exactly. Yeah, nil, nil. The other two hadn't had that.
The other two were. Was it? I think they're both there. Anyway.
So you got the lamb as well?
We got the lamb. So but the point, this was a fucking mission. So basically, we were moving at the speed that, because it was so snowy, we're moving at the speed that like Henry VIII moves out in Wolf Hall when he's like on horseback. Uh-huh. So like we got from Essex to Milton Keynes in about like 5 or 6 hours. Like it was like a day's ride.
Yeah.
Like, you know Wolf Hall where it's like after a hard day's riding, they'd made it from Kent up to London.
I don't know what you're on about. I don't know what Wolf Hall is.
Oh, not interested in the Booker Prize.
Okay. Your reference points are all over the place, Joe. We've had the Premier League, Wolf Hall, and Willy's Perfect Chocolate Christmas.
But also, as I've established, I'm only addressing myself.
Yeah.
So I know. I know. So basically, we were going at kind of medieval pace, the pace where you'd have to stop to like get fresh horses.
Yeah.
So that added an element to it that, for me, made it better.
Mm-hmm. You loved
time
that.
With Neil, basically.
Yeah, yeah. More time with your best mate.
Yeah.
Your best friend.
Got there, got the lamb. Point is about a lamb is that it's not really a lamb, it's a massive dead young sheep.
Yes.
Okay. So that goes in the back of the car. Did it smell? Yes. What did it smell of? Blood.
Yeah.
Did it kick up a bit? Yes. I can't remember whether it was. So we overnighted. I'm going to keep using the verb overnight. We overnighted at his sister's farm. Then we drove back the next day. I think it was probably a bit of an easier journey back. Now it came to bury the lamb. The garden we chose to bury it in was not my parents' back garden.
Garden?
We buried it in a garden.
In a garden?
I thought you were doing it on the farm.
No, that was to get them. Because the point is about Willy is he's a village character. So we had to come back to our village so we could invite...
Well, you had to be like Willy.
Yes.
You couldn't just eat the lamb.
You wanted the party like
I mainly wanted to be like Willy. I wanted a party like it's Willy and like it's 1999. Like I'm Willy and it's 1999.
Yeah, you don't just want to eat this. You see it and go, oh,
it's not really about the food.
I'd love to taste that.
It turns out I'm more interested in preparing food for other people, actually.
Like I want to be like...
It's about the display.
It's about the display. It's about me having friends near.
So whose garden did you bury it in?
We buried it in the... So, as I say, not my back garden. Not the back garden of the house that Neil... he was literally a homeowner lived in, but just the back garden of one of the other local mums who was like known to be a bit of a soft touch. Like she was the mum where whenever there was a party with like when we were at school, uh-huh. where it was just like 20 adolescent boys, no girls, which was the only other party I ever went to, it was always at her house.
Yes.
Because it was like...
You don't even need to make a comparison. Yeah. I think we all know the old phrase. Yeah. Oh, you know her. She'd let you bury a lamb in her back garden.
Yeah, exactly.
So
a 50-year-old man and his child friend bury a lamb in her back garden. They saw Willy's perfect chocolate Christmas.
So basically, I could see, I mean, when we arrived with the lamb, I think we were basically late with the lamb because of the snow. We got there, my brother was there, Giles was there. Giles is the son of the woman who was like, his mum was like...
Soft touch.
Soft touch. He was,
soft touch, she's
So they're ready to help you bury
the
lamb.
So Greg and Giles is there, and we arrive and the fire's lit. The pit is... ready.
So they've done quite a lot.
They've done quite a lot.
They dug the pit for us.
Willy would dig his own pit.
He would dig. Look, to be honest, I wasn't great. I was pissed off. I wanted to dig the pit as well. I wanted to like. I was because we were late back from the snow and everything. And like, they dug the pit. They lit the fire, and then they were putting that hay on. It seemed a bit wet, but there was a steam coming up. Oh. But so they put that in. Then we put the lamb in, buried it
in a sack.
I think we did have a Hessian sack. We genuinely did have a Hessian sack. And it, you know, we'd put bits of rosemary in it and all the rest of it. Probably garlic.
Yeah.
I mean, just definitely we would have done.
Yeah.
fucking definitely.
Yeah.
Buried it. Came out the next day. So now there's Giles's mum.
Soft touch.
Soft touch is there.
Soft touch landlady.
Yeah.
My mum's there. Neil's wife is there. probably thinking Neil's spending a bit too much time with
that. Can't believe with his young friend. But they're burying a lamb together.
You're jealous of Neil's wife, of course.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck's she doing here?
Why aren't you standing
with me? I thought this was about
me?
Us. Yeah. Why are you standing next to her?
Why are you standing next to her at the lamb funeral?
Yeah, sorry, what's this conversation about?
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I don't mean to butt in. Just what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Veg has been prepared, roasted veg.
Yeah.
A lot of anticipation. I am basically like, I'm Willy. Out we go. Trot out to the lamb.
I'm so Willy right now.
Like, I can't see, like, obvious smoke or steam, but, like, it's fine. We dig it up, peel back the hessian sacking. It's exactly the same. It's just raw. I mean, it's exactly the fucking same. It's just like, hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. So anyway, we get it out. Neil is in pieces. Neil's just literally like, we get it back into Elaine's kitchen. Elaine is soft touch.
Soft touch, yeah.
So I was like, I won't use her name, but then in a way, we just start calling her soft touch. Anyway, I think Elaine went well. So weirdly, Elaine's also a vet, which is odd. So it's weird having this thing on the table, this dead animal. What I would say is that what's the difference between the lamb we got from the farm and the lamb that we now dug up? I'll tell you the difference. Bits of the lamb we've now dug up literally stink of shit. That is the difference between the lamb. So basically, in hindsight, I suppose three things I would suggest. First of all, when they put the hay on, I was like, that hay isn't damp. That's like what you'd put on a fire to put it out. It was just
wet hay.
Sweat hay.
So just put the fire
essentially
out.
Dug a fire, put it out.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was like, how do you roast the chicken? Turn the oven on, heat up the oven to 200, actually probably 180.
Yeah.
Turn the oven off, put the chicken in. That was basically what had happened. Fire put out, lamb buried. Two other facts. Soft touch told us that either the night before or maybe the following morning, quite a lot of the local squirrels and local pigeons had been just on the area immediately above the lamb, being like, yeah, something going on here. What is it? There's something near that we're interested in. What is it? There's food somewhere. What is it? And then the third fact I'd say is that when we dug it up, one of Neil's sons said, it smells like museums. Which I assume means it smells like a mummy.
It smells bad.
Did Neil's son also then say, Dad, please come home?
Dad, please come home.
Have you finished hanging out with the Thomas boy now?
He said, first of all, Dad, I'm glad you're still alive. We just want to know that you're safe.
Yeah.
So is that your main course?
The main course. A better version of that.
Is a version of that work? Made by Willy? Surely Willy's one.
Okay, Willy's making it. Willy's making it.
We saw Willy's one. That's you what know you what? Wanted.
Okay, we saw it. Yeah.
We can't have your lamb zombie.
No. We can't.
No. Well, you can't have something that literally stinks of shit. Probably.
Yeah.
So main course, roast lamb.
24-hour lamb.
Long story short, you want a roast lamb for your main course.
Yes, please.
Side dish.
Ideally in 3 to 4 words.
I did have some problems with this, but I'm just going to say this because I think this is I don't understand why people don't cook this for themselves more. It's really nice. Celeriac mash or cream celeriac. Why don't people make that for themselves?
Okay.
It's fucking nice.
Yeah.
It's not you can't get celeriac. It's right there.
Yeah.
I think it's a very ugly vegetable and people find it quite threatening.
Yeah, it is a bit ugly, but... I mean,
I had some in a soup the other day. I made a celeriac and parsnip soup.
I think it's bloody nice. And also celery, to which it's sort of distantly related, is a good seasoning. Famously in your kind of, what's the base of Italian sauces where you have carrot, etc., onion. What's the five thing? Onion, leek, garlic, celery, carrot, is that it? I think that's it.
That tends to make up the...
Sofrito, I think that's what I mean. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's five. Celery is always in there, and I think people overlook it. Celery salt as well. Why are we putting this with salt if it's not an interesting flavour? Answer, because it is an interesting flavour.
Joe.
But yeah.
Celeriac, an opportunity to get basically a vegetable that's already got its own interesting seasoning. You probably would still put some butter with it and some salt. as we know from that Netflix series, fat and salt are often at the cornerstone of almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I'd say. I'm sorry it's less imaginative.
No, is it made by yourself?
I've insisted that people should make it for themselves. I would make it for myself, yeah. So I'm making this all myself.
Yeah,
I'm not making the bread.
No, Willie's making
Willie's making the lamb.
Willie's making the lamb.
So it's bread first, butter. I'm making spag bol. Willie's making the lamb.
You're making the slurry.
I forgot about the spag bol.
It's because it was about 4 hours ago.
Your drink.
Okay, again, unimaginative, but I think probably just a big gouty red wine.
Yeah,
Something where other people would go, that's a bit much, that. That's what I want. I want the red wine that a vampire would drink.
You want the red wine to taste like the lamb's melt in the boot.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I want to drink the red wine that a vampire would drink if he was having like blood withdrawal symptoms. Yeah. And just needed something to stop him twitching.
Yeah. So like like a heavy, high alcohol.
Yeah. 15% even.
Yeah. Like a Barolo or something, a heavy Italian wine.
Yeah, like a heavy Italian would be great. Something like that. In fact, a Barolo is often a medium body, but I might go for a Bordeaux, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But basically just something that tastes like blood, basically.
So is anyone else just replaying the lamb story in their head?
Yeah.
I'm imagining...
I'm just thinking about... even though you gave us so many details, there's so much I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, in my head now, the whole meal's being cooked underground.
Yeah.
And the spaghetti bolognese is under there.
Is the wine underground?
The wine could be underground, yeah.
So, it's been an emotional journey. We now arrive at your dessert.
Yeah.
Are you... big on desserts, big on sweets?
Okay, I have to say, I'm actually not massively into desserts. Yeah, and I know that this is a prickly area.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you're hungriest when you have the starter. I'm not sure you've heard all this. You're hungriest when you have the starter. Hunger is the best sauce, as I have heard someone say recently.
Sauce spelt how?
S. interesting. Because it could be the best source of... They mean S-A-U-C-E. Sauce. Mm-hmm.
But it could be the best source of...
the best source of pleasure.
Pleasure.
I mean, obviously you're hungriest when you have a starter. So for me, the dessert is almost just like... Also, I've eaten so much in this meal already.
Uh-huh.
So I'm probably just going to go for something like a lemon sorbet.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that I always used to want that when we were on holiday, when I was a... This isn't funny. This is just not funny anymore. When I was a...
Okay.
You might reply, what do you mean anymore? But I always wanted those little coupes of lemon sorbet.
I know exactly what you mean.
At a French cafe outside on a hot day. Yeah. They always seem to be like elegant ladies having them. And like, we couldn't have them as kids because it was like too extravagant. And it just looked so nice in there. There was nothing else in there, but somehow, because you saw it through the kind of the glass, it made it look like there was something in there other than the sorbet. It was beautifully presented. And I just can't think of anything more refreshing. And I always remember just really wanting that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice when there's something that you couldn't have before.
You're going to need to be refreshed because you're going to be sat there sweaty, knackered. Your hands are covered in mud from digging up the lamb.
Yeah. I've eaten a huge portion of spag bol.
Yeah, with cream in it.
Then I've had presumably quite a lot of that lamb.
Well, yeah. You're the only one here.
With a weird piece of celeriac mash as far as I can tell, sort of sociological reasons. I think you'd be lucky to get anything more into me at all.
Sorbet's a good choice in that situation.
Yeah. It's just a great choice.
Lovely choice. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a bit of sorbet, and, especially from France.
And I'm sorry there's not more, narrative to go along with that.
Fine.
But there's
I think we're good for narrative.
You're probably good for narrative.
A lot happened
around
the main course of this this podcast. And I think that everyone, I feel like speak for myself and Ed and Benito and the listeners, that We just needed to cool down afterwards.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the sorbet does that literally. Yeah. And
roll the car into the garage.
Yeah. I'm genuinely quite sort of tired, actually.
Yeah, you've really... I'll read your order back to you, see how you feel about it.
Go on.
And make sure we know who's doing all of it.
Yeah, who's cooking all of it?
Yes, absolutely. Spark and mortar to begin with. You would like bread with lots of butter, King Butter. Geo batter. Dark rye bread, classic white bread, all in the thing. Primo Cremo spaghetti bolognese, homemade, 2006 to 2007.
Yeah. In fact, maybe it was made then and frozen.
2 decades ago?
Yeah.
Main course.
Don't say that.
Willie's 24-hour lamb.
Well, yeah.
We want Willie to come round and cook you a 24-hour lamb.
If he's still alive.
Yeah. Side celeriac mash made by yourself.
Yes, please.
Drink a big gouty red wine.
Yeah.
French cafe lemon sorbet.
Yeah.
Feel good?
I'm very happy with that. It's surprised myself, really. It's not really what I want, but thank you.
Thanks very much for coming in, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Well, there we are. What a journey we went on.
Well. Never met Joe before, and what an experience it was.
I wish I'd known that you'd never met him before. I would have been much more excited for this first meeting.
I loved it, loved the stories, and loved the fact that he didn't mention the secret ingredient as well. No kidneys. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Although he did have sort of dug up lamb.
A full lamb. Yeah. Which I guess might have kidneys in it, but...
Yeah. Well, he'd probably leave them in by accident.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully he'd take the kidneys out of the lamb, but yeah. Hey, brilliant. Thank you, Joe, and good luck on your play, What's in a Name.
And you can find out more about What's in a Name on whatsinanameplay.com.
Lovely.
That's how easy it is to promote that play.
So easy to promote it. hey, Ed, have we been sent any free stuff lately?
Always, baby. We got sent some Ruby's Rubble ketchup and mayo.
Oh, I love the name. Haven't tasted it yet, but Ruby's Rubble is a good name.
It is, indeed.
Good names are hard to come by.
We got sent some Neil's Yard Dairy cheeses.
Neil's Yard.
They have wonderful cheeses at Neil's Yard. Absolutely incredible.
I'll tell you what you'd find in Neil's Yard. A lamb buried in a hole.
I mean, I'm so annoyed I didn't spot that. And the Small Beer Brew Company, who I'd noticed on the shelves of my local supermarket before, and I was intrigued. And it was lovely to try. It's very low ABV beer.
Oh, yeah?
We're talking 1%.
1%?
And it was very
nice.
It's
like lemonade.
Yeah, but lemonade with a little something cheeky.
A little cheeky lemonade.
But it was delicious. So thank you very much for sending us those things. Go on the Off Menu website, which is offmenupodcast.co.uk. There's a restaurant list on there. Every single restaurant that has ever been mentioned on the Off Menu podcast is on our website. Don't ask us. It's on the website, offmenupodcast.co.uk. Check out the Instagram. Check out the Twitter. We love you. Goodbye.
If you forget that email, if you forget that website address, just ask for the code.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy... there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.